be back now.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is the Covenant Cafe Blog Talk Radio Show. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we're here to bring you another fantastic show live from Panera Bread. I don't think, right now.
Straight up.
I'm out and about. But however, let's get into the intro. Let's get this show on the road.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it, his covenant's not in vain. Once his promises start showing, so put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio, so come and listen in. It's Covenant Cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic Laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, Covenant Cafe.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Covenant Cafe, and we're back live on location. I'm out and about, so it's the background tomorrow may be a little bit noisy, not as quiet, because we're live. You might hear a kid in the back. You might hear a kid in the background, something like that. But we're going to enjoy ourselves today. So we got a lot of stuff planned. We got a guest calling in. We got, I haven't seen Deacon. I think Harold is coming back. Oh, no. It just got even louder. It's kind of weird. It's quiet this whole time since I've been here. Now that the show started, it just got piping hot. So we're going to be piping hot as well. But Deacon's, his little understudy or whatever guy might show up. And we got some news from around the world. We got great music. Also, of course, we got weird and useless news. So let's start off by saying what's going on. And actually, we have to start off with our word of the day. Let's go ahead and get into that.
All right. Our word of the day, it comes from 2 Corinthians 11:14. And it reads, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light." Just a little pretense on what happened beforehand. The scripture before that, it reads, "For our false prophets, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ." I'm highlighting this just to keep in mind that everything that seems good to you is not necessarily good for you. A lot of times we get deceived by the outer appearance of a lot of stuff. I was watching, before the show started, as I was getting myself together, I had a chance to get a glance at the TV show called Unsung. And, you know, and it gives a basic background of what happened to them. What happened? Why did this happen? And today was Marvin Gaye. Tripped me out, because Marvin Gaye was very, very unhappy, though he was an iconic R&B legend. He often found himself in a lot of crack. A lot of drugs, paranoia, all this stuff was going on. And as you know, if you don't know, because it's really, really past before your time, Marvin Gaye died in 1984 due to the gunshot from his own dad. Some like to say jealousy. Others report that they both were high. Gunshot to the chest. So with that being said, and it left me there sitting there, and I'm like, wow, I know a lot of people that are lusting for that kind of fame, for that kind of stardom, to be in his position to perform in all these fans and this and that. And the sad thing is, I also know a lot of people who want it but would not be able to handle the pressure and would not have made it that far. So I say this to say that with Satan transforming himself into an angel of light, which would be something that's not, that's gold, that's not really glittering. Something that you said, you know, everything that glitters ain't gold. So something that's glittering, that's not really gold. Just to keep in mind that the Bible says that you know a tree by its fruit. So basically a good tree can't bear bad fruit, or it can't produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Likewise, so an apple tree cannot grow oranges. With that being said, something that someone that's, if you watch somebody long enough, you're going to see their character. You're going to see their fruit. You're going to see what it produces. If you watch a lifestyle long enough, if you look at anything long enough, you're going to see it. So in the proper season, example, an apple tree and an orange tree, just to give an example, they look the same in the winter. They're going to look alike in the winter because of the season. It's a season where you're not producing, but it's really more so is you're sowing, if anything, but not reaping. So in the winter, they're going to look alike. But if you watch that apple and that orange tree long enough, you're going to see that this is an apple tree because apples are growing on it, and this is an orange tree. Likewise with somebody that is of God and somebody that is of Satan, a non-believer, and I'm not going to put it that bad, but a non-believer and a believer, whatever it may be the case, you're going to see it. So what I encourage today, just starting this show off, that we all move in a sense of patience. We all start praying for discernment. We all start praying for wisdom. We all start opening our eyes. The lusting is really what's dangerous. My pastor spoke on it so much today, was about lusting, how we lust after things, and it is hurting us because we have let these lusts grow greater than our desire for God, our desire for family. And there's some people, like in the Marvin Gaye thing, you know, he's a great musician. He was very talented, but they highlighted his lust for drugs. Mm-hmm. It was highlighted, it, almost to the point where they was talking about how it was a sorrow for him to perform. He didn't like performing after a while, but he would come out and perform and rock every crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is that something actually surpassed his desire to do music, period.
Mm.
So that being said, you can be very, very gifted and very, very talented in very, in particular areas and do well at it and still have something that's greater, still seek something more. And that same thing with God. You can know the Bible and still love something more than God, still want something more than God, even though you have some knowledge of God. So we can't sleep anymore. You know, that's just like me. I read the Bible, I know the Bible, and I'm doing me.
Mm-hmm.
That means there's something inside of me that desires more than God, and there's nothing that can surpass the void that God would fill. There's nothing that can do that. So we have to wake up and stop being so, you know, lackadaisical and thinking, oh, it won't happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
They say over 80% of the people with AIDS said the same thing. It would not happen to me.
Mm.
Homeless people, same thing. It would not happen to me. Well, yes, it can happen. It can happen to any of us. Any of us can backslide. Any of us can destroy our lives. And we have to wake up to that and be more on guard.
Absolutely.
And that is our word.
You got it here on the Covenant Cafe. Let's talk about what's going on in the world. There's a lot of crazy things going on in the world. We got these planned attacks that's supposed to happen. And I had to take a deep breath for that one. It's just a lot of things going on right now in the world. So what we're going to do, we're going to veer from that. And you know what's going on right now? The NFL is going on right now. Let's talk about the NFL instead of depressing people about what's going on in the world.
I wish the Jaguars much luck today. I really hope they beat the Oakland Raiders. I got to throw that out there.
Now, before we get into that portion, I don't know if anybody watched the fight yesterday. There was a big fight last night, Mayweather and Canelo. Mayweather has reached the 45-0.
Mm.
45-0. There's a little controversy there because one of the three judges, you know, judged the fight. Both of them, out of the three judges, two of them had Mayweather winning, and one judge apparently called it a draw. Apparently, she wasn't supposed to do that. I'm not into scoring for boxing, so that's going on in the boxing world. But however, as it stands, Mayweather is undefeated. Apparently, no one can beat this guy.
Mm.
This guy is just taking on the boxing world by storm. And let's get into a couple of scores that's going on right now. Right now, the Saints is playing the Buccaneers. Saints is up 10-7. They still have plenty of time to play that game. Detroit Lions, my favorite team, they're up right now over the Cardinals 21-19. The Jaguars right now is down to the Raiders 16-3. Broncos and Giants going at it. That is they call the Manning Bowl. You got Peyton Manning and Eli Manning, you know, on both sides of the ball, or, you know, on either side of the ball right now. You know, Peyton's playing for the Broncos. Eli's playing for the Giants right now. Big Brother's winning 17-6. Falcons dusted off the Rams 31-24. Chargers hang on to victory against the Eagles 33-30. It was a really good game. Chiefs hang on to beat the Cowboys 17-16. Dolphins, wow, to beat the Colts 24-20. I guess Andrew Luck is not having any luck with those. Didn't have any luck with those guys. No pun intended. Texans hang on to beat the Titans 30-24. The Packers, man, they were crushing the Redskins 38-20. Aaron Rodgers just threw for over 400 something yards. Wow, this is that. Actually, I watched most of that game. The game was for the Redskins. They struggled. So, tell you the truth, although the Packers won only by 18 points, they had actually had the Redskins down 30-0 before they even scored a touchdown. 31-0, actually. So for them to come, for it to end up being 38-20, it's kind of letting them, like, okay, they actually went into autopilot pretty much. The Ravens hang on to beat the Browns 14-6. Bills beat the Panthers at the very last moment. So E.J. Manuel, you know, he's a rookie quarterback, made that last. Actually, it was like 2 seconds left in the game and tossed it to Stevie Johnson, and he caught it, and he took that game 24-23. Same thing with the Bears and Vikings. That's that NFC North. The Bears won 31-30. There you have it for right now. So that's the sports for today. There's a lot of stuff going on. And hopefully, maybe those Jaguars can pull through. And you know, somebody has to win because you got both teams are didn't have any wins yet. Although it's just the second week, they're both 0-1, so somebody has to walk away with a win. So maybe. Those Jaguars walk away with a win. And it's not impossible. So there you have a little sports wrap up for us.
on that note, take me into a song to get my mind together.
So what we're going to do, we're going to go into a song, and we'll come back out of that song, and we're going to go with the weird news, and I got some interesting stories with that. So let's get into some mirror conflicted. Here on the Covenant Cafe is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lays.
Conflicted by Mirror. Let's get it.
Life was a nightmare, my future was a terror. I had all I ever wanted, walked around stunting. People so envious, I had what they wanted. Drinking on the weekend, smoking on occasion. Took a shot to go on stage so I could feel amazing. Lying to myself, hurting God's feeling. Raising the church, me and Jesus were familiar. So the path that I'm hiking, my grandma wouldn't like it. She said, baby, no better, but why can I do better? How the gospel seems, not the real word. So what was being taught to me? I strayed from it, so I was raised on it. I know I need it like Ebonics needs funding. I know I'm no good, I know my life is sinful. Is your life perfect? Cause mine's got issues. Skeletons I won't say, bury hate is hard to carry. Can I get a witness? I'm feeling so conflicted.
I'm not even gonna get into it, but she definitely roasting things out right now.
Man. And since I had to, it just seemed like I'm coming back to win this game type thing. A few announcements. The play that we did last week went over pretty well.
Yeah. What's up?
Yeah. Finding Chris, my father, it was success. Friday night was a little slow. However, it picked up on Saturday and packed house on Sunday.
Good stuff.
So we're going to be doing it in Richmond, Virginia, November 17th. We got another date at a church in Virginia Beach, which has some huge ties to some very notable people. And we're going to be doing that December 7th. So some big things are going down. Coming October 2nd, you guys know also I do stand-up comedy. I will be sharing the stage with it's called the Unknown Wayne Tour. There are so many Wayne's family that's so popular out there. But this one actually is called the Unknown Wayne's Tour. And the young lady, she's one of the Wayans. She's a member of the Wayans family. Her brothers are Damon and Dante Wayans. Her name is Shantae Wayans. And she was actually in Dance Click, the movie. So
okay.
October 2nd, and another funny guy locally, Leonard Oot. He was actually featured on BT's Comic View recently. So I don't know if that aired yet or it's going to air. I might have missed it. I'm not sure. But he's a very funny guy, so I'll be hitting the stage with them October 2nd. Yeah, so it's things that, man, I'm going to tell you, things is cracking. And what I said, one of my speeches at the play, after the play was over, I was like, being though that I have another child on the way, this stuff has to work, because I don't like sleeping on couches.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Straight up.
Yeah, so there's a lot of good things coming that's going down. So, God definitely thank God for all of that. So what about you? I know you're working on another play, right?
Yeah, man. I'm in this new play. It's called The Final Decision.
Wow.
And is the name, it fits it. You know, it's real life kind of stuff. It's every day we have decisions to make. And
mm-hmm.
The thing is, are you willing to make a decision that is good right now, but may cost you your soul in the end? So, the Bible talks about how what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul?
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times people think gaining the whole world is like all the money and the riches, da 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 da. Which in most cases that's something that's very common for us. But you must also consider this: losing your soul is also your character or your integrity. So, example, are you willing to get this job that sells? I don't want to call nobody out, but let's call out cigarettes and tobacco. Are you willing to help be with a job that is giving cancer to everybody? Even though it won't make you a millionaire, are you willing to support that? Be a part of making the product that's killing millions?
Mm-hmm.
This is a good question to say. The whole thing is that, we make a lot of decisions every day. Are you worried about, some people are more worried about their financial status or their position in the economy, and that worry will surpass your feelings toward other people.
Mm-hmm.
I got to eat. It's my life. I don't want to die. Yet and still everybody else is dying because of the decision you made. So, this play really, it definitely highlights on our lust and our greeds and everything, how that temporary success, that quick, easy success or whatever it may be, how in the long run, how it hinders and hurts everybody. So there's no such thing as, success, the easy success, to
mm-hmm.
put it like that. Because it's always going to be something. So that's going down. And also we got Soul Therapy. Y'all, please keep us in prayer. Please keep me in prayer. So this weekend we're looking to shoot the video for it. And the release should be in October, early October. Brand new single. This song here, I can't explain enough. And I'm not speaking on a biased thing like, oh, yeah, Poetic Lace did it. But more so I'm speaking because the message is so powerful. If any other artist would have did it, I would have had to do nothing but commend them, because the message is so powerful and it's way outside of the box. So I'm looking forward to that. And also we got two concerts coming up. You got the God Belongs to My City prayer walk. So the whole city is going to be out in Jacksonville, Florida for that one, as we pray for God to be in our city as we walk the city. And then the prayer walk concert, which is right after that, as soon as we finish walking. So it's some big things coming up, man. So I just ask that you guys definitely please keep me in prayer, for the load and the pulling is starting to wear and tear on me. I'm exhausted right now as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
But it's good stuff.
Absolutely. Now time for that very, very favorite segment that we have going on. And you know what that is? It's the Weird News. Here it is. Very interesting story. It says, holy water bacteria samples with up to 62 million per milliliter found in the Australian study. They try to say it's bacteria in holy water. Let's check it out.
See, that's how I know it went over my head. Wait a minute. See, that's how you know I'm tired, because I heard it, like, okay. Oh, wait, whoa, wait. Bacteria in holy water?
Holy water. All right,
now, okay.
I'm woke. It says, in an Australian study of holy water that tested 21 springs in Australia and 18 fonts in Vienna, found that samples contained up to 62 million bacteria per milliliter. ABC News reported this. Additionally, 86% of samples tested contained dangerous levels of bacteria commonly found in fecal matter, such as E. coli. Mm-hmm. With that much bacteria, you're better off blessing yourself with melted ice from fast food restaurants in China. Water containing high concentrations of such harmful bacteria could lead to serious gastrointestinal disease if ingested. According to the study, which was published in the Journal of Water and Health, that's a major threat to people who use water from holy springs as personal drinking water. In quotations, it says, "We need to warn people against drinking from these sources," end quote, said Dr. Alexander Krishner, study researcher and microbiologist at the Medical University of Vienna, which conducted the study. Study authors also contend that holy water in busy churches and hospital chapels could potentially spread infection. The busier the church or hospital, the higher the risk.
Mm-hmm. You waiting on me to say something?
Yeah.
I do have
that is the end
say.
Of that story. And
see,
that, story,
the
that
thing.
Story was posted this morning.
I hate that title. I really hate that title, because now you put the facade at that. Because if I would have saw that title and just kept scrolling, I'm like, oh, hell no. Nah. I ain't drinking no holy water. And holy water is not like we go to a certain place and get the water, and the water is holier than thou water everywhere else.
Water
is being prayed, is water that is prayed. Like, I can buy water from the store and take it to my ordained leaders and have them pray, or not even just that, just and pray over it and cover the water and bless the water.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not on some. And now somebody passes by and just be like, see, look at them. Look at these. You know what I mean? The first thing that comes to mind, if I didn't know anybody, it's like, there goes something else I need to stay away from.
Mm-hmm.
So now when I hear holy water and I'm at a place, I'm like, oh, see, they serving that bacteria.
Absolutely.
Continue, sir. Continue.
Okay, here, remember Friday was Friday 13th, right? So here are 13 things that might make you rule the day. Ben Franklin writes, "Nothing is certain except death and taxes." In a letter to James Baptist Leroy on November 13th, 1789, American founding father wrote, "Our new constitution is now established and has an appearance that promises permanency, but in this world, nothing can be said to be certain except death and taxes. More than 200 years has passed, and that the present conventional wisdom holds, although one may now hazard adding cats on the internet to the list," whatever that's supposed to mean. So basically, these are 13 things that happen on Friday the 13th, okay? That has happened on Friday the 13th, or will in the future happen on Friday the 13th. We have another doomsday. We have another doomsday that's coming. It says NASA predicts that the so-called doomsday asteroid Apophis, it's spelled Apophis, will come incredibly close to Earth on Friday the 13th, which is April 13, 2029. But they say, don't worry, it may not hit Earth, or will it? Okay, Mary Kay and Ashley Olsen were also born on Friday the 13th, which is June 13th, 1986. A supposedly fun thing that 3,229 people won't ever forget. And remember this? The cruise ship Costa Concordia struck a rock off of an island, tearing a 174 foot gash in the hull of a partially inundated ship. And partially inundated the ship. Remember, the ship had tilted over a few years back, and that happened on the 13th. Okay. Driver Tupac Shakur died of internal bleeding on Friday, September 13th, 1996, after suffering gunshot wound on several nights before. 17 years after his death, Shakur is still credited as a major influence in the current hip hop music, and people still believe this guy is not gone yet.
Did we talk about this yet? Did I say anything yet about that?
I don't think we have. So I'm gonna do a couple of more.
But before you get into that, just let me, while it's still fresh. All right.
Okay.
This is my issue with the whole Tupac being alive or Tupac being dead. Just to throw this out there, I believe he's dead. Okay, just to say that. But back to it. My major issue is that Pac has been, when you do that, you kind of exalt him to a stage of immortality, which is a godlike status in your mind. And I say that because, let's just say he did fake his death. Who's to say that he didn't trip and fall down the stairs right after that and die?
Mm-hmm.
Like, for somebody to execute a plan, like, life and death is one thing that we can't control to the fullest. So for somebody to fake their death and say, I'm going to be back in 20 years, are you God? You know what I mean? So I'm not saying he didn't say, I ain't saying he said that, but I'm saying everybody that brings him up, yeah, Tupac coming back in 2020.
Mm-hmm.
What? So you saying he can't die? You saying he wouldn't die from lung cancer along the way, from the cigarettes he smoked? He wouldn't die from a possible HIV, from AIDS, from unprotected sex? You saying he wouldn't die from a storm, or he wouldn't die from natural causes? Like, you exalt him to a level of immortality, and that is one of my major problems with it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, now you can continue on. I had to put that out there.
No problem.
I was like, yeah, Pac alive. Pac alive. Man, chill, bro.
And speaking of Alive, there was a movie titled Alive. It was based off of this story, a rugby team's plane crash in the mountains and cannibalism ensues. Now, their plane carrying the Ugarian rugby team crashed in the Andes Mountains on Friday 13th, which in October 13th, 1972, the survivors were faced was an unappetizing situation, starved to death or resort to cannibalism. The result was a harrowing tale of human survival that was turned into a mediocre movie, which was titled Alive, playing off as Tupac Alive. Anyway, Friday the 13th, you guys remember the series Friday the 13th? The movie, the Friday the 13th, they released part 3. It came out Friday the 13th of August 13th, 1982. Yes, I had to say this one for last. This was the first iconic classic slasher film. You guys familiar with Jason Voorhees' signature hockey mask and all that stuff? This was an iconic movie, and people remember these movies for years, and it went on forever. So it was also the first in the series to be released on the Friday the 13th. So that was the third installation of that movie was released for the first time on Friday the 13th, August 13th, 1982.
Hmm.
That was a mouthful. And last, I have an interesting story here. Michael Marcel Law, accused of attacking Vegas jail guards with a baseball bat.
Hmm. How did you baseball? Go ahead.
Okay. He was accused of walking into a Las Vegas jail and attacking the guards with a baseball bat. Here it is. Investigators were trying to determine why a man walked into a downtown Las Vegas jail with an aluminum bat and began to attack correctional officers. Michael Marcel Law, 25, is accused of hitting one officer in the head, neck, and hand and pulling a knife on several officers as they wrestled him to the floor of the Clark County Detention Center on Wednesday morning. Law later told investigators that he was upset about the way police handled a complaint he made September 7th that he had been robbed, according to a police report. He said police did nothing to help him and wanted to hurt the first officer in a uniform that he saw. Police officer Jose Hernandez said Friday he had no immediate information about a robbery report last week involving Law. The injured corrections officer, Darren McCray, was able to help subdue Law before being taken to the hospital where he was treated and released. Police said, wow, when I say it is getting loud, it is getting loud as I continue to speak. However, Law also was taken to the hospital for unrelated medical issues before being returned to the jail as a detainee. He's awaiting a Monday court appearance on charges including attempted murder, battery with a weapon, and burglary. Correction officers Nicholas Eubanks told investigators that he had mentioned to McCray that a man he saw approaching the lobby of the jail couldn't possibly be trying to enter with a bat. Moments later, the officer said Law began swinging the bat with both hands. Police said the frantic jail lobby was the guy. He was caught in the jail lobby via security camera, so they came out and subdued the guy. Now, this guy, he had several previous encounters with police, according to the court records, including 2007 and 2008 petty larceny and battery cases that led to guilty pleas and sentences that he performed community service and received mental health counseling. He was represented by public defenders in those cases. It was not immediately clear Friday if Law had been appointed a lawyer in the jail guard attack. So he was pretty angry.
Yeah, he was.
You know what? Although, yeah, he may be a little mentally off, you have to be pretty angry to walk into a beehive.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, you know, like if you get stung in the ear or on a leg or whatever by a bee and you just go attack the beehive, a huge beehive, that's a lot of guts. But this guy definitely gets... He definitely gets the explosion sound. Because he was angry. I wonder what happened. Like, what made him that angry? What did they actually do? I know the guy said they did nothing. What was their nothing? Did he tell them and he felt that they didn't do nothing? Or they came out and said, okay, we can't do anything about this? You know what I mean? So what was the nothing?
You.
I would love to know what was the nothing for him to go off in that manner. And on that note, with no pun intended, I'm on a roll with these no pun intended after the after we had, like earlier, we was talking about football, and then I played conflicted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So after this guy's story, I'm going to go into another musical break by Kirk Franklin. It's called Looking for You. Here on the Covenant Cafe, apparently he was looking for somebody, so this song is called Looking for You. It just happened that way, guys. I didn't plan it. So this is your host, Lamont Ferguson and
Poetic Lace.
Going into Kirk Franklin's Looking for You after this guy went looking for the cops.
To all the people in the struggle, you think God's forgotten about you. Here's some pain medicine. Let's go!
Come on, man.
your car, you at the house, on your job. Be encouraged, boo. Come on.
And I'm going to go ahead and get into another song. I received a text from Deacon Helper, and he said he'll be here shortly. So I don't know what that means. I don't know if he's going to bring Deacon with him or not. But I would like to get into another song. And the song I'm going to go ahead and get into is Kelly Price, Heaven's Best. You know, Kelly Price has Kelly Price has come a long ways. She's phenomenal. Very, very, very talented young lady. So let's get into
What's the name of the song?
Heaven's Best.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to get into one more musical break before we get into Deacon and find out what's going on here on the Covenant Cafe. We'll be right back.
death. See, I used to do wrong, but now I do right.
That was fabulous.
Yes.
That was great. Great, great, great. So Deacon said, oh, wait, hold on. Deacon's not here. I see that guy again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to go ahead and step out. And before he... How are you doing, Lace? How are you doing? Yes.
Hey, what's up, man?
And Lamont, how are you doing? Okay, I'm fine. Well, right now, I need you to leave and go find something else to do while I handle, I mean, not handle, talk to Poetic Lace. okay. You know what? I got some stuff I have to do, and I'll be back. Thank you for leaving. Anyway, how's everybody doing today?
All is well. How about yourself?
I'm doing fine. And
The people that you saw come in with me on the sharing, I make sure they be quiet in the background. But listen, every time I say something, sometimes they might clap, okay? So don't be mad. Thank you. That's my fan club.
You got a fan club too?
Yes. We call them the D-Pound. They're the Deacon Pound, so they call the D-Pound. Ain't that right, D-Pound? Y'all gonna class on me or what? I'll say, I guess they won't. Thank you. Anyway, let me not waste your time. Okay, I want to talk to you about a few scriptures that Deacon sent over. Okay, he said, Acts 18:9, it says, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent. So basically, he told me to make sure I keep speaking and not be silent. And he told me, don't be afraid of you guys.
Okay.
And Matthew 28:20 says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So basically, he wants you guys to obey him and me. Make sure you obey everything that we do when we come to the studio. Okay, we always bring a live studio audience. I never see you guys have a live studio audience like my crew. Thank you. Let me tell you one more thing. It says, don't you know John 14:6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No one really comes to the studio except through Deacon or me. You got it? So,
no.
All right, amen. Okay, now, let's try to get to the useless facts. The name Wendy was made up from the word from the book Peter Pan.
Okay.
Barbie's full name is, I know you don't play with Barbies, but just in case you've heard of the toy, Barbie's full name is Barbara Millicent Roberts. Every time, and I can tell that you have been licking a lot of stamps in your life, because every time you lick a stamp, you consume 1/10 of a calorie. So apparently you've been licking a lot of stamps, haven't you?
Continue.
Okay. Let me tell you another. 1/4 of the bones in your body are in your feet. So you have a lot of bones in your body because your feet are really big. Anyway.
Yo, one more time. Continue.
Okay. One more, and I'm going to let you guys go. If one places a tiny amount of, let me read that one. It is illegal to hunt camels in the state of Arizona. And that is the useless news for today. So I'm about to leave, and I'll talk to you guys later. You guys have a great day, and maybe here come my mom. I see him now, and I'm about to go out this door with all my fans. See you guys later. You have a good night. Bye. Wow. What was going on?
That's it. I am not letting Deegan and his dude boy come back in and just
What?
Terrible. It's terrible.
What happened?
Just like Deacon, he flips scriptures to make it fit him and the occasion, and he getting bold and slick at the mouth. See, I'm trying to, you know, keep my character, but I'm going to bring out my joke list on this geeky looking man in a minute.
I did hear, because I was passing by, he said something about you. Apparently, you licked a lot of stamps or something.
Yes, he did that. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So he started calling you fat?
No. Let's play another song.
Wow. He's very bold. Very, very bold. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get into another song here on the Covenant Cafe. We're going to get into a little Donnie C, Shelter from the Storm, here on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamar Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, the song was taking a little long to load. Don't understand that one. So, ladies and gentlemen, as this song waiting to load, that's kind of weird. I've never seen that happen before.
I got some news.
Yeah, let's go ahead.
Anyway, let's get into the news.
Okay, let's
go. What is the guy's name again? He's really... Never mind. All right. So, for starters, I found this to be interesting. AIDS vaccine created at OHSU made clear virus from body.
Wait, say that again?
Think about it. I'm sorry. AIDS vaccine created at OHSU may clear virus from body.
Oh.
Let's talk about it. An HIV vaccine created by researchers at Oregon Health and Science University may be able to completely wipe out the AIDS-caused virus from the body, and the university announced it Wednesday. The vaccine under development at OHSU Vaccine and Gene Therapy Institute is being tested by using a primate form of HIV called SIV, which causes AIDS in monkeys. Researchers hope an HIV form of the vaccine candidate will soon be able to be tested in humans. The journal Nature published the results on Wednesday. Dr. Lewis Picker, the lab's associated director, said HIV infection has only been cured in a very small number of highly publicized but unusual clinical cases. In those cases, people with HIV were treated with antiviral medicines very early after the onset of the infection, or they received a stem cell transplant to combat cancer. This latest research suggests that certain immune responses elicited by a new vaccine may also have the ability to completely remove HIV from the body.
Wow.
So this is my thing is, I started looking at it. You know, it was a debate. It was really a debate in my mind that I didn't realize was going on. So they said if they did cure HIV, if this was, you know, a cure to abolish HIV, would it be more positive or more negative for society?
Mm.
I throw that question out there because if we lived in a society or in a world that lacked consequences for one action, would there be peace?
Uh-huh.
But on the other end, there are some cases where you may deal with a consequence due to someone else's action. Is it your fault? Like a child being born from a mother with HIV and the virus is passed to him. Or possible you get a shot and it's a dirty needle.
Uh-huh.
Or even just so happened, as I say, just on worst comes to worst, somebody was bleeding or just something you didn't know, your wife or husband, you know, cheats on you, adultery, you get married, and you're married, and they pass it to you because you're married. You're probably not having unprotected sex, so they pass it to you. So I throw it out there still, would it be more positive or negative on society if there was a cure? What you think?
Wow. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. And it's called the SIV, and it has more of an effect than HIV. Is that what you're saying?
Well, no. Basically, the story was saying that they were doing it on the primate form, the primates itself, and they have HIV too, but it's called SIV.
Okay.
So basically, which is it's like they say, you know how they say that's the brother sister of the whatever. Well, that's what pretty much what it is. It is the sister of HIV. It is the eighth form of HIV in existence.
And they have a cure. They found a cure for it.
Pretty much.
For the SIV.
Yep. So their goal is to move towards the cure for. They wanted to start doing testing on human, specimens.
Oh man, I don't know how to feel. What I feel about that. You gotta find out how these diseases work and treat them anyway. But I don't know how I feel about that. Because when you test it on humans, that's someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you don't find a cure, that person dies. You know what I mean? So it's a tough thing for somebody to sign up for. I know I wouldn't want to be a part of their research, you know. That's why they test animals that's close to the human nature because, I mean, like, who's going to sign up for that?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm not signing up for that. Hey, we're going to pay you X amount of dollars to sign up for testing for this. No. So, well, you can't find a cure. So, I'm just left with the disease. No, I pass.
But like you said, it's a double side. What if you are the person that took the sacrifice, I guess, and the cure is through you?
Yeah,
and you got paid for it.
You know, that's a sacrifice and a half right there.
Yeah.
And sacrifice.
It's tough.
Yeah.
So, moving on, a suicidal woman leads police to dead body.
What?
Suicidal woman leads police to dead bodies. I meant to say bodies, not body. Body.
Oh, that's IES. Wow. Okay.
Yes. So let's move into it. Police charged a woman with murder after the bodies of her two children were found inside a Southern Californian hotel. Officers were led to the bodies at the Hampton Inn and Suites in Santa Ana after Marilyn Edge, 42, apparently tried to commit suicide Saturday night by crashing her car at a Home Depot parking lot in a nearby town. Authorities said. When police arrived to the parking lot in Costa Mesa, they found the woman with a cord around her neck. She was trying to strangle herself with it, said police Tim Sargent. Edge also had a tank of propane gas inside the Honda Accord and made comments indicating she hoped the car would ignite. When a woman was removed from the car struggling with the paramedics, she made a reference to an incident in Santa Ana, Hampton. Officers doing a safety check at the hotel found the bodies of the children, a 13-year-old boy and a 10-year-old girl. The third floor room was registered to the woman. It was not clear how long the children had been there or how they died. Her last known address was listed in Scottsdale, Arizona, though the car she was driving had a Georgia license plate. Authorities did not know what she was doing in California. It's upsetting to say the least, my goodness. If there's two children involved, that's just horrendous to say the least, Mike Ramey says, who was staying in the hotel. It's just a heartbreaker. A parent is just a heartbreaker. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy. Let me share this story with you guys. Police officer charged in a fatal shooting of an unarmed man who had just survived a car accident.
I glanced at that. What happened?
Okay, so the story as it reads, and this was updated 4 hours ago, a North Carolina police officer was charged with voluntary manslaughter on Saturday after police say he fatally shot an unarmed man who had apparently just survived a car crash in Charlotte and was looking for help. the victim, Jonathan Ferrell, a 24-year-old former Florida A&M University football player, was shot multiple times and pronounced dead at the scene early Saturday morning. The 27-year-old officer, Randall Terrett, turned himself into police late Saturday. He was released on $50,000 bond. It says the shooting of Mr. Ferrell was excessive. The Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department said in a statement, our investigation has shown that Officer Kerry did not have a lawful right to discharge his weapon during this encounter. According to police, Ferrell crashed his vehicle into the woods, climbed out of his car, and walked a half mile to Mayor's house. He began banging on the door viciously. Charlotte Mecklenburg Chief Rodney Monroe said it was quite possible he was seeking assistance based on his accident, but the woman who answered the door thought he was a burglar and called police shortly after 2:30 a.m. to report an attempted break-in. Kerry and two other responding officers surrounded Ferrell, who immediately charged at the police. Monroe said one officer tried unsuccessfully to subdue Ferrell with a taser, then fired his weapon several times. He immediately charged towards the three officers, and one particular, Monroe said. The officer in particular fired his weapon several times, striking the individual multiple times. It's with heavy hearts and significant regrets it's come to this, Monroe said. Monroe added, our hearts go out to the family and many members of the CMPD family. Police said that Kerry's actions were appropriate and lawful, but a subsequent investigation found the officer who joined the police department in 2011 had violated the law regarding voluntary manslaughter under North Carolina law. Voluntary manslaughter is defined as killing without malice, using excessive force, and exercising imperfect self-defense, the paper said. Monroe said that there was no evidence Ferrell threatened a woman. Alcohol did not appear a factor in the crash. Now, two other officers involved in the incident were placed on paid administrative leave. So it's saying that he charged the officers. I'm not understanding. So I don't know if they saying he charged the officers or he was approaching the officers because he was in the car crash or what. You know, anything, I don't know. I guess we're going to hear more regarding this incident. You know, the police have been getting within the last 10 years. It's really bad because you do have a lot of good guys out there. A lot of heroes. Mm-hmm. A lot of those guys go out for $40,000 a year, going into dangerous situations. Mm-hmm. They have families and they come home. You know what I mean? Like when you go to work or when I go to work, whatever. I know I'm not in harm's way unless get into a car accident or something, crazy like that.
Mm-hmm.
But for those guys, every day you go to work, you're in harm's way.
Right.
And then you have guys like this who use excessive force. So anytime an officer just generally walks into a store, everybody's looking at him with a display, like, what are these guys going to do? Are these the good guys or the bad guys? You don't know.
Right.
Which is sad.
It is. And I was talking about that before, especially in our community, the black community. We're pretty much taught that police are the bad guys, regardless of their skin tone. They're the bad guy. They say it could be a black cop or a white cop or whatever ethnic background. It's still the bad guy. This is something that is like engraved in the head, and for the most part, it's justified because of the actions that we do view and that we do see and we do go through and what happens or how it affects us. But at the same time, after traveling and being exposed to another life that is outside of an urban community, you see that
is not justified because we need law enforcement. We need law enforcement because it's just like remember Sean Taylor that played for the Redskins? You know, he, black man, athlete, and was killed by some people who broke into his house and shot him. Even though it wasn't their purpose, that's not what they wanted to do. But my thing is, like, this can happen to anybody. And if we don't have the proper authorities in place, then how can we prevent this unless we take the law into our own hands? So it is, I mean, this is what they say, a catch-22 kind of feeling, kind of moment. But it is a sad thing that for police officers, like I went to school with people who were studying law to be a police officer, and they were cool people. They didn't even get a badge yet. They were cool people. I mean, power does change people. Power does change you, of course. But at the same time, they're cool people. And if I see them with or without a badge, I'm still going to speak. So, I mean, it's like you said, man, it's very sad. It's a very tough thing that a police officer, he walks in, and then next thing you know, he's no longer a human being.
Mm-hmm.
And more times than none, he's a bad guy. Crazy.
Yeah. Crazy. On some other news, the world's oldest man dies in New York at age 112 years old.
Mm.
They call him Celestiano Sanchez. Quotation is, his nickname was Shorty. He has been the oldest man on earth at 110 years old. Let's take a look at this, and we're going to get into the poetic portion of our show. But let's take a look at this. This guy was 112 years old. So he was born in 1901.
Hmm.
1901. Let's take a look at that.
Wow.
1901. Look at all the changes that have been made.
Right.
You go from not having cars to having cars to having fast cars. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You go up, mm-hmm. You go from not having planes to having planes.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he was born June 8th, 1901. I'm not sure of what his political side, whether he's Democrat or Republican or whatever, but mm-hmm. not important. But he goes from, he's a white, older white guy, but he goes from seeing only a white only situation to a black president.
Right.
You know, you go from segregation to everything is just multiracial situation. I mean, that's incredible. Oh, you know what? While we're discussing this, okay, I'm gonna talk about real quick the year, 1901. Okay. Facts. Okay, 1901 facts. We're going to go. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
No, historical events, 1901. Now, let's see some good ones. Oil was discovered in Texas. The first games played in baseball, American League. Look where baseball has come from to where it is now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Let me see. The first advanced copy of the inaugural speech, Jefferson National. Let's see. Some other important things that probably happened in 1901. that the baseball, that's interesting. Wow. Fire destroyed 1,700 buildings in Jacksonville, Florida.
Mm.
Wow, that's your
mm-hmm.
area.
Mm-hmm.
A piece of Peking in Boxer Rebellion, China. Battle at Blood River Port. First use of gateway car occurs after holding up a shop in Paris. I'm just going to scroll through here fast. The first table tennis tournament is held.
Hmm.
The first Nobel Peace Prize goes to Jean Henry Dunant Frederick Passy. The very first one. U.S. Army War College is established. And finally, I mean, that's it for real. So it wasn't, that was a lot of overseas events. That's what I'm looking at right now, besides the baseball and the other little things.
Yeah, I mean, you know, from 1901 to 2014, I mean, 2013, you're going to hear and see a lot, especially in the 60s, the 70s, the 60s to the 70s to the 80s.
Yeah.
Huge shift. And then the 90s, and especially, you know, not to jump over the 80s or nothing, but because the 80s and the 90s kind of blended, started to blend into each other. But the 90s till now, oh my God, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Skinny jeans, you went from baggy clothes to skinny jeans.
And he went from the 22nd president, Grover Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
Which left office in 1908, from the 22nd to the
44th.
Mm. That's a lot of precedent. I mean, and like you said, those important shifts in years, as far as the 70s, the 80s, you had Vietnam, of course, you had World War One, two, big thing, Vietnam, that was the 70s, right? Vietnam, I think Vietnam, let me get my facts right. I think Vietnam happened in the 70s, I want to say. It had to happen, I believe it happened in the 70s. He definitely saw a lot. Okay, let me catch this. I want to give the right error. I want to say 70. Who's with me on this? The 70s. I say the 70s. 68. So it was the 60s. I was about to hit the 70s. So, yeah. So he endured a whole lot. He definitely lived a full life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before we go into the poetry section, I definitely have one more story to share.
Okay.
This one is an eye opener kind of thing, and it kind of challenges your thinking, also your causes you to evaluate your blessings in life. It says the title is "They Won't Allow." Down syndrome fighter not allowed to fight. Now, to give you some key points before we get into the story, the background behind it, Jared Hove, who he was issued a cease and desist order right before a fight, and Hove has trained to be an MMA fighter for the past 4 years. So that's just something to keep in mind as we read. Okay. When 23-year-old mixed martial arts fighter Jared Hove was told he couldn't enter the ring to fight an opponent in August, he was more than just frustrated, and it wasn't because he trained tirelessly for the fight for 2 months.
Jared Hove said he believes the fighter was canceled because he and his planned opponent, David Steffen, both have disabilities. But he's not ready to give up yet. With the help of his dad, who spoke to HLN on the phone interview, he's seeking another way to enter the ring. It's our belief, based on conversation with people within the MMA community, that getting it done in any state isn't going to be easy, Hitch Hove said. Jared Hove, who has Down syndrome, discovered martial arts as a teenager. His father, Mitch Hove, invited Jared and his brother to join him at a gym to improve their health. Jared was the only taker. Soon he found that he loved to spar, and that passion ignited a fire in him. Jared once told his dad, "I don't want to be called Jared because Jared has Down syndrome. He's dead to me," Mitch Hove said to an ESPN interviewer. Mitch Hove said that he has the time. His son wanted to ignore his disability and make his way into the sports by being a sparring partner. As Jared Hove continued to train and spar, he looked forward to his first time fighting in the ring with an opponent of equal stature. But because of his disability, it was an uphill battle for him to reach that goal. Therefore, the core group, people involved in MMA that are trying to protect the sport from a bad PR, Mitch Hove said, they're feeling having disabled people compete would give the sport a black eye. They are also afraid of the sideshow effect of having disabled people competing. I'll stop there. It's a pretty long story. I see one thing that comes to mind. Someone actually mentioned it on the start. It said apparently it's only acceptable to become disabled while participating in sports you love than already being disabled and wish to participate in your sport you love. I find that to be a powerful statement, that it is okay, like, it's okay to get disabled and try to fight your way to come back and eventually get accepted to come back, instead of being disabled already and joining a sport. Because the guy, from his picture, he is more than capable to be successful. You know, he has Down syndrome, you know, it's apparent, but he also has, you know, he has the build, he has the height, he has the size, he has the demeanor. Mm-hmm. Yet and still, because he has Down syndrome, he's not allowed to participate. So, two things, you know, that come to mind is, one, I'm thankful that's not a fight that I have to enter. But also at the same time, it's like, is the MMA wrong? Because if something were to happen to him, say he died or something crazy happened, then you look at the MMA like, why did y'all let him do it? You shouldn't let him do it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, he is a human being. Is it right that you ban him or you keep him from doing something because he has a disability? He's trained all this time. He showed that he's more than capable, that he's not a handicap.
Well, look at the guy that was in the Olympics with the metal leg.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't stop him from running. You know what I mean?
I guess, but the issue, what it goes back to, is that he was disabled while doing it instead of being disabled and trying to do it.
Okay.
You know, so it's still a – and even then, when he ran, they gave him a hard time too.
Yeah.
So – It's a tough battle. I mean, I kind of, if anything, I guess I'm more on the side of the underdogs in these stories.
Yeah.
Because you're disqualifying me because you don't think I'm capable, even though I've proved it through training sessions. I favor more on their side, but I understand the league or the guys who are hosting the whole arena in which these guys are trying to compete in, because if something does happen, we are liable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's tough. It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
Definitely a tough cookie. Okay, ladies. Hold on. You got something?
That's it for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, what we're going to do is get into a segment called The Poetry Spot, where we go with some inspirational stories, poetry, and play a couple of hip-hop hip-hop, holy hip-hop. I don't know. I'm confused on all these titles. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
but however, let's get into
the poetry spot here on the Covenant Cafe.
This is
Two Snaps.
The poetry spot. And I'm Isis, the goddess of poetry. Flow it free into the universe. Sing our tongue and speak new languages. Leave feeling its freedom ringing in its flow. Flow it freely. You know, leave that which prohibits you to be anything else but free flowing in the breeze. Flow it free until your conscious freezes with zest and less stress to confine its emotionless mind, dimming light till you are blind. No, let's rewind. Go back in time when it would only cost a penny for your thoughts. Now it's a dime. Flow it free. Do not be reckless and intertwined with bottomless pits of naked mind. Be not afraid to take a peek into my mind, because only in this place and time, within the fine line, will you find a peace of mind, and you will then be able to flow it free. Now, leave me. This is the poetry spot.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the poetry spot of the show. I'll share a little story with you guys in a little bit. But, however, you guys, I know Lace, he never really say much about it, but his album is on sale. iTunes. Yes, he has a lot of stuff that's happening. Some of my actually favorite tracks is Broken Wings. Diamonds on My Neck, and he has like 15 songs on this album. I have it. It took me a while to purchase it, but I was being, it wasn't that it wasn't good, but it was just me being lazy. So look, I have it, so you guys definitely have to get it. It's a dope album. He has a lot of stuff planned as far as this next project, and next, you want to talk about the next project that you have coming up?
Yeah, man. Soul Therapy, when I tell you it's next level stuff, man, I want to give a big shout out to OMN Jacksonville, Jacksonville United, God Belongs in My City. Oh, man, Paul Limpansky from Platinum Sounds, music by Convergers, man, Transparent, Worshippers Victorious, yo, the list, Space Cherry Films. Yeah, I know Sonny Media, so many people, Phenomenally Blessed Corporation. I wanted just so many people that were involved, some big names that were on this, and talk about engineer that work with Lil Wayne, Alicia Keys, TJ the Beat Man. It's crazy. So many people. I'm sorry if I forgot any names, but this project, we put a lot into it. We got Soul Therapy itself is the single. Got a choir involved, Transparent, Worshippers Victorious, man, awesome lead vocalist, man. Yo, this song here, I don't want to give y'all the definition just yet because I want to announce it and let the song follow up, but Soul Therapy, we're breaking pinnacles, we're going to a new level, we're taking stages, and it's definitely going to help a lot of people, encourage people. I'm believing that a lot of God's people are going to come back to God after listening to this song, and a lot of people. And when I say come back to God, I'm not saying, like, just people who are saved and they know God. The thing is about the Bible, there are a lot of people that, and when you belong to God, you belong to Him. And some people belong to God, but they have never confessed the name. So God knew you, and Jeremiah talks about how God knew you before you were conceived, before the world was bent. So if God already knew you, it's not a fact, you're awakening to coming back to Him. And that's what this song is really, I believe it's really going to do. It's going to cause people from everywhere to come back to God, to leave whatever religion they went to or to whatever mess they're currently in and come back to God. It's going to be a healing and a therapy to the soul. So I'm definitely looking forward to sharing it when it's time. October, man, I could talk all night about it.
That's definitely dope. Definitely sounds like some good stuff going on. Now, I'm going to share a couple of inspirational stories here. I got both of these stories online. I didn't write it, nor did Poetic Lace write it. It's called Moral Stories. Now, this story is called The Story of a Blind Girl by Stephen, and he wrote this September 13, 2008. Here it is. He says, there was a blind girl who hated herself just because she was blind. She hated everyone except her loving boyfriend. He was always there for her. She said that if she could only see the world, she would marry her boyfriend. One day, someone donated a pair of eyes to her, and then she could see everything, including her boyfriend. Her boyfriend asked her, now that you can see the world, will you marry me? The girl was shocked when she saw that her boyfriend was blind too and refused to marry him. Her boyfriend walked away in tears and later wrote a letter to her saying, just take care of my eyes there. It's pretty interesting. And then here's another one. It says, this is how the human brain changes when the status changed. Only a few remember what life was before and who's always been there, even in the most painful situation. Life is a gift. Today, before you think of saying an unkind word, think of someone who can't speak. Before you complain about the taste of your food, think of someone who has nothing to eat. Before you complain about your husband or wife, think of someone who is crying out to God for a companion. Today, before you complain about life, think of someone who went too early to heaven. Before you complain about your children, think of someone who desires children, but they're barren. Before you argue about your dirty house, someone didn't clean or sweep, think of the people who are living in the streets. Before whining about the distance you drive, think of someone who walks the same distance with their feet. And when you are tired and complain about your job, think of the unemployed, the disabled, and those who wish they had your job. But before you think of pointing the finger or condemning another, remember not one of us are without sin, and we all will answer to the one maker. And when depressing thoughts seem to get you down, put a smile on your face and thank God you're alive and still around. Life is a gift. Live it, enjoy it, celebrate it, and fulfill it. That's the inspirational moment.
That on that poem, before you step into the song, this next song, on the poem, you said, I've heard that's a similar story to that, how the guy, at the end of the guy, gives the girl his eyes. Mm-hmm. And when she get it, he asks, can he marry it? And she, no, whatever. And the other story I heard, a guy ended up committing suicide, but he left a note telling, you know, tell her to just take care of it. Basically, in short, it was the same thing about taking care of my eyes, and I hope you enjoy my eyes. Mm-hmm. And my thing is, you know, it's very inspirational. It's inspirational, but also it's an eye-opening for both sides.
Mm-hmm.
We know the obvious side, but I want to go deeper for the male side. There were signs showing that she was going to do that, that people kind of ignore. There was a sign showing that. One of the signs was that she wouldn't marry him unless she had this.
Mm-hmm.
She wouldn't marry him unless it went this way. It's almost saying if things were perfect. To me, like, you know, everybody's perfection is different. So one guy, like, if I just had a job and everything would be just right, I just need a job and a car in my own place and I'd be just right. Then you got somebody who has that and who's saying, well, if I just had more money, it would be just right. And then you have somebody else who just said, if I had a wife or if I had a husband, I would just be, things would just right. I don't need nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
You got some people say, I just need God, I don't need nothing else. You have those different, my life would be perfect if I had this. So with that being said, when a person, she couldn't marry him out of being content with her life. So she said, if I could see the world, I would marry you. So now that she can see the world, now you can't see the world, I don't see us being happy kind of thing. So I'm basically saying that when dealing with people, you know, look at the signs before you make a great sacrifice that's void. Mm-hmm. Look at the signs. And one of the signs was the fact that, you know, if I had eyes, everything would be fine. We could be together forever. And she get him. She didn't even know you were blind. So if you were blind, say if he was blind when they were together the whole time. So he's not good mm-hmm. enough? His character, his personality, nothing was good enough?
Yeah.
Another thing is that my thing is, y'all, that would have came up in the conversation. So how much do you really know him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you would, like, as far, like, as long as they've been together or whatever, she would have known that he was also blind.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been something, it was just some kind of, in the communication. Like, my girlfriend would ask me, she asked me things, like, sort of things that's obvious, but she would ask. How's your hearing? You know, a little bit uh-huh. just because she wants to be that in tune with me. Mm-hmm. So why wouldn't? So then there we see another example of how she was into herself more than she was anybody else.
Now, I want to touch the other portion of this, the poem about complaining. And that's what we need to, I think it's natural to complain, but to an extent. I've definitely worked with people who complain about to lose their job, and they complain about keeping their job, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Because there's a situation where I was working, and I worked at a school, and the census was low, and people complained about, oh, man, we're about to lose a job. And mm-hmm. then once we got some kids in, they didn't complain about the type of kids that we got in to keep mm-hmm. us working. So mm-hmm. it was, you know, like, okay, you complain about having to look for another job if we don't get more kids in. Now you complain about now we got kids in.
Mm-hmm.
You complain about the type of kids. You know, so I hear people complain about a lot of different things. It's me, my best friend. We have a ongoing joke about that because people complain mm-hmm. about going to work. You hear, man, I don't feel like going to work today. I don't feel like going to work. But then if you mm-hmm. don't have a job, you're like, man, I can't buy a job, man. I can't. You know what I'm saying? It's like, mm-hmm. really? So, mm-hmm. the thing said, life is a gift. When you get into, like I said, I'm not saying that you're never going to complain because you are going to complain. You know, you are going to wake up like, man, I don't feel like going to work today. But then
right.
eventually you're like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and clock in, and then your day goes smooth. But mm-hmm. you have people that complain when they wake up. Then when they get mm-hmm. to work, complain about, oh, man, there's another week, and complain mm-hmm. about, okay, this day is so long. Wait, you know. It's some people have an ongoing thing about complaining.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you realize that takes a lot of your energy, and it brings mm-hmm. down the morale that's in your workplace.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you complain about the supervisor, or you complain about this person, or you complain about that person. If you go do what you have to do, some things are inevitable. Certain supervisors are going to act a certain way regardless if you're doing your job or you're not doing your job.
Mm-hmm.
So the best thing for you to do is go ahead and do your job the best of your honest ability. And if you receive heat, then you know within self that, okay, I have to find a job. Instead of complaining about it, then you have to find something else.
Right.
You're going to, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So those situations definitely going to show up without a shadow of a doubt. If they're going to show mm-hmm. up, because if you work long enough, you're going to work with supervisors that's going to micromanage. You're going to work with mm-hmm. supervisors that's going to like, okay, I see your ability. Go ahead and run with your work. You're going to have those.
Yeah.
But I've had lenient supervisors. I've had supervisors that were micromanagers. I've had supervisors that was kind of in between, you know, lenient, but then when the pressure hits, then they want to micromanage, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you got to get out of the habit of complaining about every little thing because I think you'll get a lot further
And I know that happened to me when I was working at this place called Circuit City. I was having fun at first, but after a while, it wasn't working out for me. And I started complaining, and literally every morning that I had to go to work, my mind, I felt like, okay, I don't want to go here. I don't want to go to work. I felt like pressure on my chest. You know, because it was just so, I made it such a burden to go to work. You know what I mean? It's that tongue thing is so powerful. I talked myself into having pressure on my chest because I kept complaining about, man, my wife, which was my girlfriend at the time, like, man, I was like, yo, I hate this job. You know, and every day it just seemed like every time I went to work, it just got harder and harder and harder. You know what I mean? So it's very important, like this story, like the thing says, life is a gift. I always think before you get into complaining about your husband, your food, about your life, your children, the house, the car you drive. Remember we talked about that before. You know, you go from not having the car, then you have a car, and you're like, hey, I need some wheels on this. You know, you get the rims, man, I need some sounds. You go get your sounds, and then all of a sudden, everything else starts going wrong. Then you're like, man, I need another car. Then that whole cycle starts all over. So, you know, and just be mindful of that time that we have that is so powerful. So powerful.
Yeah, true.
So what we're going to do is get into a song that we haven't played in a while. And this guy name is Trip Lee. And the name of the song is called 116. Let's check this out here on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
Here we go.
Look, all I need is 116. The rag on my king, Romans 116. We rag up at him daily cause he runs this thing. Can I do it? Can I do it? We rest the Lord truly. We hit him straight ahead and we ain't trying to hit no Hewitt. Man, they can't do nothing to me. We don't look like some other dudes do it. We young boys, always that mature. Tommy's do it. But this ain't no baby tell. Say we make them lonely tunes. This that Calvin's crazy tell. Make them say they may be out. We was blind, now we get to see. This that Navy tell. My goal is arresting them, but this ain't no lazy bro. My daddy ain't make me so, but he gave me peace though. Threw my chains up over me. I call that my free throw. Pray told me to go in. They got your boy on beast mode. I ain't got no weight. He made me a priest though. Pray I never fall away. Chasing after package change. Used to put my stock in riches. I had his stock in chains. I was just a throwback. But now I do not want the same. Probably cause he put me on blast. Like a rocket man.
All I need is 116. To brag on my king. Romans 116. We brag about him daily cause he runs this thing. Can I do it?
Do it.
Do it. One to the ones that going, is it one for the ones that only him? If one to get one clip, notice them.
Here we go again.
For this process in front of me, got my two eyes after that W like Nintendo Wii. My penalty, Jesus, my remedy, relentlessly shepherding in lost sheep. Call him both feet.
Give me the mic, better believe I'ma go hard. Come on, I think everybody with that liberal, miracle theology without an apology. Whenever I get up on the microphone, I gotta represent.
Sweet skirty, yeah. What they gonna do? What murder us? What murder does is send a surge of us to go put churches up.
Sure.
Ain't no hurting us. I'm on that Justin Martyr. When the church go in, LA clicking daughter. Satan try to charge your media try to bomb up. Under attack, but we got value pearls.
Give me the mic, close back to record. To get back in the soul to the max at thought. Elevating the father with a passionate voice. Give me a 16, I'ma brag on my Lord.
All I need is 116 to brag on my Lord. Romans 116. We talk about him daily cause he run this thing. Can I do it? Yeah. All I need is 116 to brag on my Lord, brag on my King. Matter of fact, give me a couple more and I do the same thing, do the same thing, do the same thing. Even on my best day, I couldn't go by. Grace to the Lord that was faithful. I, for the sin that I committed, should have paid that price. But I didn't because the Father went and gave to Christ. What love is this? To send his own, to die for sin, and take his home. Got me feeling good. Forget my feelings
when you heard a story about the hero dying for the villain, kill him with a fast roll, then I go slow. This one here is urgent. When it comes to God, everybody's got a version. Some are wearing turbans, others getting virgin. With all of these options, we know he's for certain. Cause ain't no other God like mine. You got to admit it, yeah, I'm falling. Cause the sin and yet his grace is sufficient. Beat the grave, set his finish. Got them unsearchable riches and they deep. That's why I'm like,
can you dig
it? Let's go.
Can you come off like that? I mean, it's all good. But ladies and gentlemen, within our 10 minutes of the 10 minutes left of the show, this has been an incredible ride. Interesting stories from football to men attack walking inside of jails, attacking attacking the police, to what's going on in the world, to find out what's going on with Lace and myself. I mean, we had a great time. So let's get into, while we do have enough time to discuss our words to live by for this week, what would that be? What are those words?
All right, the words to live by this week, we're going to take a trip to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, Jeremiah 29, verses 11, starting with verses 11. And the reading of the word says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will cast upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." So it's so many things that you highlight here. But remember, y'all keep in mind that God is not a man. So since God is not a man, he cannot lie, nor does he need to repent. He's God, perfect. The Alpha, the Omega. So I said that to say that this is the Lord talking, and what the Lord says, that the Lord actually has thoughts that are good towards you. You know, so that's one thing that people need to start keeping in mind, that, you know, if the Lord thinks good things to you, why do you feel that God is punishing you and God hates you, and the very fact that you don't talk to God, he hates you, and God, I know you're surprised to hear from me right now, but I need you. But this is what, now mind you, this is the Lord speaking to the prophet Jeremiah, to a rebellious nation, which was Israel, a rebellious people who done some stuff, and they received God's wrath more than one, on more than one occasion, more than 10 occasions. So I said it to say, the first thing is that God has thoughts that are good toward you, and these thoughts are of peace and not of evil, to give you future and hope. So taking a real quick run real quick, well, you know, a lot of times people are like, well, if God wants to give me hope, then why are these bad things are coming against me, this and that? Well, if we take a look at how hope is, the Bible says in Romans 5:3, it says, "And not only that, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us." So the whole thing is that God does have, does not think evil thoughts towards you, and he does want to give you a future and hope. And even when trials and tribulations come, as we just read, trials and tribulations are good, because it's going to produce perseverance character, and character hope. And hope will not disappoint. So how can you have hope if you don't go through something and believe that you're going to come out? Something has to produce that hope. And it starts off with trials and tribulations. So this all confirms that in Romans, we're doing a lot of hopping, glory to God, in Romans 8:28, it says, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, and to those who are called according to his purpose." So we just saw that trials and tribulations work to the good for all those who love God, which means, so if all this is to produce that hope, and it's that hope that God wants to give us, not to mention that we see that this hope will cause us to call upon God. And it will cause us to pray. And that prayer that we're praying from this hope is he's going to listen to it. So that means it's going to develop a communication system with us and God. And we will see God, and God will find us. And we will find him. We will see God, and we will find him. And we will search for him with all our, and this is going to happen by us searching for him with all our hearts. So I just say that to say, in this upcoming week, that when good things, bad things, with all the above things happen, keep in mind that the Lord does not have thoughts of evil towards you. And even if you are being chastised for something or whatever it may be, know that this is for your own good, because it's for the development of your character. It's for the development of your soul, which is, you know, to build your communication with him, to keep you strong in him. You know, we got to go through fire. Fire is like crucial. Now, I'm not trying to twist this into talking about going through fire, but I'm learning firsthand how important the fire is in your development, in your walk as a Christian. Just to share something real quick. last Friday, I went to go see my brother. I'm in a jail. I'm sitting in the county jail, right? And my brother girlfriend, she gets up to go walk in. She walks out. Or she walks in. Another guy comes out. This white, older white male. And he looks dead at me, and he just starts talking. And I think to myself, I'm like, it's already on my spirit. Like, he's looking for God in me. He needs something from my spirit that God has placed there to share with him. So as he's talking, I asked him, is he a praying man? And he says, yeah, but I don't pray about nothing. So I'm like, okay, I don't know what I'll be praying about. I'm like, all right, whatever. Talking. Kind of find out he's Catholic. He just turned 65 years old. Gentleman, Jewish white man. So he says to me, I ask him, well, you need healing in your body. You know, how's your health? And he tells me that it was something wrong. How did I know that? I don't know, but it was the Lord. So we ended up talking. So by the end, I prayed for him. I asked him, can I pray for him? And he was like, yeah. Now, mind you, him being a Catholic, the old school Catholic, you know, is in order to reach God, you go through the priest kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, anyway, he allows me to pray for him. And when we finish, he's like, thank you, man. I feel so much good. It's all that power. Thank you, man. That was awesome. Da, 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 da. And I'm like, oh, glory to God. You know, I'm happy for him. We both happy. And he leaves. So I sit down, and I'm like, yes, it's awesome, God. Use me again. You know, use me. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And the Holy Spirit said, will you continue to serve me even when you get bad news? So instantly, my soul said, yes, Lord. A few minutes after that, my brother's girlfriend comes out, and she's sad. She looks so sad. And she tells me that my brother has been convicted to go to prison. Mm. So at that moment, now God had already spoke to me. He just spoke to me. So I have peace. I was at peace. Didn't trip or anything. Because the thing that I have to keep in mind is that on one end, that same praise that I just gave to this awesome God in my good time is the same praise that I'm going to have to give to my God in the bad time.
Mm-hmm.
It can't change, and it can't decrease. If anything, it should increase. The only change should come from an increase. So with that being said, that has caused me to be stronger. I am exhausted on this show, but yet and still, I'm giving my best. Exhausted at rehearsals, exhausted in just life. I'm tired. I'm getting hit in so many different directions, on both good and bad. And I still have to give my best performance at any rehearsal, whether it's for Poetic Lace or whether it's for ILCM Theatrical. I have to give my best. So I say that to say that God has said, the Bible talks about how God will not put too much on you that you can't handle. So I can handle this because God has good thoughts of me. I'm going to allow this pressure because he can rise to it. That's his love and future. So, like, we go back to it. Like I said, we go through these things because it produces. It produces so much. And I encourage that everybody can do that because you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
Absolutely. Wow. I mean, and it kind of goes back to, actually, it's interesting that we read that poem about complaining. Mm-hmm. You could have easily complained they did your brother wrong. You could have easily complained about, you know, anything, but you always got to humble yourself before God. No matter, we all make, we do have 90 seconds left in the show, but we all have our issues. We all have our weaknesses. And our tests and our trials. And it's important that if you fall to your weakness, that you sincerely pray for forgiveness. Don't fall to your weakness and be like, okay, well, I'm going to do this, and then later on I'm going to pray for forgiveness. No, honestly, being that, if that's what happens, I mean, if it happens, you can't plan to do something and then say, I'm going to pray afterwards. Sure. If it happens to you, then you have to say, okay, God, I'm so sorry. I failed to this. You have to make me stronger, you know, and just keep your faith, your nose to the grind. But however, ladies and gentlemen, that is our time. I don't want to get caught off in this conversation. That's why we started this at 10 minutes, and you still see what happened. So, however, may you have a blessed week. And this is the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Poetic Lace.
And we'll do this again next week here on the Covenant Cafe. Here's a piece of our outro. We'll talk to you next week.
This ain't goodbye forever, but only time will tell. We had some funny moments, real talking interviews. Every Sunday, 7:30 Eastern time, we do. 7:30.